It was in pursuit of this goal that 2 weeks later, on January 26, General Kruger was presented with a dilemma of enormous emotional import. The Sixth Army had driven halfway to Manila when he learned that a certain fragile obstacle stood in the way of his forces. His highest G2 officer, a big, burly man from Nebraska named Horton White, laid out the problem with all of its nuances. Earlier that day, White had had a series of intense discussions with an American guerrilla leader named Robert Laffam, a thin, shrewd, flinty man from Davenport, Iowa, who'd spent the past 3 years directing a band of Filipino insurgents in a protracted fight against the Japanese occupation. Laffam told Horton White that near the city of Cabanatuan, which lay some 60 miles to the east, there were approximately 500 American soldiers living in a squalid prison camp. These prisoners, he said, had been captured by the Japanese after the fall of Bataan and Corregidor, the largest surrender in American military history. Many of them were survivors of the Bataan Death March. For 3 years they had starved and slaved. Their fellow prisoners had died by the thousands because their camp commandant refused to give them even the most rudimentary of medicines. At one time, the Cabanatuan camp had been the largest POW compound in all of the Philippines and one of the largest in all of Asia, housing as many as 10,000 Americans. It was the mother camp around which all the others had served as satellites. Nearly every American who'd been captured by the Japanese had passed through its sordid gates at some point. The population had fluctuated over the years, with prisoners constantly coming and going and coming back again, depending on the whims and changing needs of the Japanese army. But in recent months, Laffam said, the camp census had dwindled dramatically. The Imperial Army had been sending all the able-bodied prisoners on ships to work as stevedores and coal miners in Japan. Now, all that was left at Cabanatuan were the dregs, the sickest and the weakest. The ghosts of Bataan, they called themselves, with a mixture of black humor and the peculiar proud toughness of the orphaned. When General MacArthur had abandoned the Philippines in March 1942, these were the men he abandoned, or rather, what was left of them. They were a special lot, a subset of bad fortune, an elite of the damned. Major Laffam knew all of this about Cabanatuan, because the camp was in his backyard. For the past 3 years, his area of operation had been Nueva Ecija, and Cabanatuan City was the provincial capital. His guerrillas had been keeping a close eye on the place. They knew everything about the camp, the black markets, the personnel changes, the executions, the work details. Since the invasion of Lingayen Gulf, they'd become increasingly worried about the fate of the prisoners. There was, Laffam said, a very good chance that the Japanese would massacre these prisoners. Paradoxically, the closer the Sixth Army drew to Cabanatuan, the greater the risks became. For years, Laffam and his guerrillas had dreamed of storming this thatched bastille and spiriting the prisoners to safety. Now, more than ever, the urgency of such an action impressed itself upon Laffam. Such a mission would be tricky, Laffam suggested, because large numbers of Japanese troops, as many as 8,000 or 9,000, were building up around Cabanatuan City. On the other hand, Laffam said his guerrillas could provide invaluable assistance should the army decide to proceed with such an operation. Horton White was taken by everything Laffam had said. The intelligence reports that he had been seeing over the past month seemed to validate the guerrilla leader's fears. The Japanese were increasingly turning to frenzied acts of rage and bloodshed. As the possibility of defeat loomed nearer, they were sinking into a kind of madness. The horror of the Palawan massacre was only the most recent example of this fearful spiral. At the Battle of Saipan in the early summer of 1944, the U.S. Marines were shocked and amazed to find that hundreds of Japanese soldiers had committed suicide, in many cases by ritualistic disembowelment, or seppuku, rather than face capture. At the Battle of Leyte Gulf, 3 months earlier, the Navy had seen the arrival of a deadly new weapon, the kamikaze plane, which conveyed with ghastly eloquence the depth of the Japanese desperation.